Hello. Thank you for joining us. My name is Kamal Hathi. I work in the BI product team at Microsoft, and I work with Amir.
My name is Amir Netz, and I also work on the Power BI team, and we've been doing it for a long time.
That's right.
I think it's about 40 years combined now for how much we've been doing BI, and most of it working together.
I wasn't born then. I don't know what you're talking about.
You know, we are now at the cusp of a new generation of BI, and we're going to talk about it, but we're really going to show you what is this new generation of BI. We're going to start with connecting with a story that I think Scott Guthrie told you. I don't know if you remember that one, but this is a story with a connected cow, right? Remember this these cows that were working there and had these pedometers connected to their ankle. I'm not going to tell you the story again, don't worry. I find this story incredibly inspiring myself, and not because it's about technology, the cloud, and their big data analytics, and it's not because it's a story of financial success of the farmers. For me, it's a story about humanity. It's a story about, hey, a farmer that just asked the question of how can we do things better, a data scientist that uses smarts and technology to really bring a solution that is very original. And at the end of the day, it's a solution that, in a world where there are more and more mouths to feed, puts more food on the table for more people. And that's really very inspiring. The other thing that it's really connected with me is it's actually caused me to start monitoring my Wise Fitbit data. Now, the good news about this story, this is actually the last slide in our presentation. Okay, from here on, we're just going to show product. Okay, so let's try to do that. One would think, how hard is it to build a system like that? How hard is it? Well, we're going to do it together here. We're going to build. No, don't worry. We're not going to distribute ankle bracelets to anyone. But we're going to use another device. This is the world of IoT, and this is one of the devices. This is a device. This is a wireless microphone, sound sensor that we purchased on Amazon for $61 a unit. Okay, and that's what I think after 10% discount or something like that. And we actually have that, and we have planted in the room some of those. Okay, and don't look for them. Don't rip them out. It's really important to keep them in place. And what happened? These things, they send signals wirelessly from here to Azure Event Hub. And in Azure Event Hub is this facility that we have that can ingest massive amounts of signals from huge number of sensors, billions of sensors sending trillions of signals. It's all going to Azure Event Hub, and this is where you can start getting to the Cortana Analytics Suite, which is kind of our set of data services up there, and we can just immediately start streaming it. And what you see here on the screen is the Azure Stream Analytics service that we have. And what it does, you can see, it takes the data from Event Hub, and what it can do is while the data is streaming in, it can go and start processing the data. And we can see here the query, and the query here is very, very simple. It takes the sensors that we have, the data, the measure from them, the sound measurement, and basically group them together per second and give us a 1 second interval of the sound level per sensor. We actually have two groups of sensors, as I said. And then what you can do is take that stream of data. It really doesn't land anywhere. It's just in flight, and go and edit directly into Power BI. And we're going to just land it directly in Power BI. And once it's there, Power BI will start seeing the data as it flows from the sensors to Azure Event Hub to Azure Stream Analytics directly to your dashboard. So take a look at such a dashboard. And we'll see how we build such a dashboard. So this is the wrong one. I know I have it here. The dashboard is this one here. So what you see here, you can see here, see the two sensors, the two groups of sensors that we have. You can see in real time how they feed. And in fact, we have here two groups. One is called the I group, and that one is called the big group. And you guys have the I group. You guys have the big group of sensors. We'll see in a moment why it's important. And one thing I can do is I can start querying and asking questions about those sensors. For example, I may want to know, for example, the volume by section for the last 10 seconds. And when I do that, I immediately get that statistics. It's natural language query. One of the things that we are really important about the next generation of BI is it's really not designed just for analysts. And we're going to see some facilities for analysts because it's really important. But it's really designed for end users to be able to answer their own questions on data. In this case, we're looking at just natural language. We don't have to teach you how to be an analyst. We don't have to give you an analyst tool like Tableau or Excel. Just ask your question in natural language, and you get the answer. And once you get the answer, you can go and say, hey, I want to see it in different shapes. Maybe I want to see here the data as a pie chart. Or maybe I want to see the data. Let's try, I don't know what this one is. This is the, let's try this one here. Maybe as a heat map. Now, what you see here on the screen is a custom visual. So we deliver a very large number of visuals built into the product, but we also allow you to add your own custom visual just right for your business or your occasion or your event. In this case, we created this heat map that is showing the data from those sensors, and this is actually the map of this room. So we're going to see it in action. Now I want actually to add it to my dashboard, so simply ask the question, choose the visualization, pin to my dashboard, and say, yep, pin it in, and I go back, and here we have it. So just live from the sensors, we have the visualization showing up. Now we're going to test it a little bit. Because we know that you guys, I'm sure you got to your positions as senior executives in your company, not because you are shying violets, shrieking violets. You were loud. You made sure that your sound, your voice is heard. So we're going to test this hypothesis today. So remember, you guys are the I sensors, and you're going to compete with the B sensors to see who's loudest. And we're going to test the system here together, okay? So here's we're going to go. When I give the signal, you guys are going to shout B. And when I give the signal, you're going to shout I. And we're going to do it a couple of times. And to make sure that you actually can detect who's the winner, who's the loudest, we have created another custom visual, which is a little bit of fun visual, which is the, we're going to see here in a moment, which is the balloon visual. We're going to see who is going to pop their balloon first, the B or the I, okay? Are you ready to go? I'll do it alternatively. Okay, ready?
B!
Louder!
B!
Louder!
B!
Hold on, hold on. Okay, hold on. Josh, it's not working.
After all the shouting?
After all the shouting, we have to do it again. Hold on, this is fine. Come on. And how many times do you have a chance to scream in a conference with all these suited people? Let's try it again. Josh is going to try it again. Let's see if it's actually going to work for us. Yeah, I think so. Okay, here we go. You have to go.
B! I! B!
I!
Louder!
B! I!
Louder!
B! I!
Close! Be louder!
B! I! B! I!
Oh. And we have the B. You guys win. Oh. Yes, you know you are loud. And thank you for supporting our BI codes here. So this is how, you know, we built this system, really. You see, there's no lines of code. You buy the sensors from Amazon, you configure them to send it to Azure, write a small query inside the Stream Analytics, and you just stream it, natural language, you put it in. Well, we did a few custom visuals. You don't have to have that. You can still have the other ones. You can see, actually see how loud you are on the chart, I hope. And see, here you go, right? The decibels going up here while you're screaming. So it's kind of fun. What you can do is you can do other applications. So take a look at this one, for example. This one is another custom visual that shows real-time sensors of foot traffic in a retail location. Same thing. It's exactly the same thing. This kind, we just use the custom visual of the heat map. And just feeds from the same kind of sensors. And this is just demos, but we actually use the exact same thing for a real application.
Yeah, so another application started off as a demo. So what we did in what's called the Build Conference, which is our developer conference, people come in and we built a little application there. And it's called how-old.net. I don't know if anybody remembers this or seen this, but this is the page. You go to how-old.net, and you can try it out.
To actually use it right. Go to your phone, go to howold.dash.net and try it out. It's actually really, really fun.
And it takes, it connects to your mobile phone, takes a picture of yourself, and does some machine learning, does some analysis, and answers two really important questions that people seem to have. It answers, tries to answer how old you are and your gender. And you can try it out and see how good or bad it is at this.
Yes.
Now,
uh-huh.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, the point being, people do use it quite a bit. And we have a dashboard that actually captures this information as you go along. And as people are taking these pictures in real time, just like Amish showed the balloons, you see this numbers change, 57, 64. Most likely seven people right now took a picture of themselves and it went in. So in real time, we are capturing these pictures and they land in this dashboard. At the same time, the information about the age, the gender is being processed by the machine learning algorithm. And we're seeing this here, the average age. We're seeing the kinds of genders there are. We're seeing the browsers that's moving. So it's a real-time dashboard that's capturing what's happening right now as people are taking pictures. It's capturing some predictive information, the machine learning information, and there's information in what happened already, historical information. It turns out 84 million users, you might have counted maybe as six, seven times yourself in that one, and along with 573 million pictures have been uploaded in the system as people went along. So it's really high scale thing. Didn't start out that way. It started out as a demo, a simple demo. You see this graph down here. You can see this spike, if you see, which goes up from almost zero to 15 million. And this spike took place literally in a few days. So the conference started, we went in, had a few hundred people. The goal was to scale maybe to 1,000 people. But this thing went viral on the internet. People started taking pictures, started putting it up. And next thing we knew, the system was handling not thousands, but millions of pictures and millions of users. And guess what? It just kept ticking, never went down. Elastic cloud scale is what allowed us to do this. So that's a great example of using the cloud, using Azure, using Power BI, and getting a system that just works all the time without really any upfront design required to go and scale that way. So another example of how something like this comes together, single pane of glass between historical, real-time, predictive, and it just works on any kind of scale.
So I don't know if we did a proper introduction to what you see here on the screen. This is our Power BI system. It's a cloud SaaS, software as a service system for BI. What you see here is a dashboarding system. We're going to see other parts. You'll see a little bit the natural language system, see how it can show real-time data. We're going to see other kind of data that it can show in a moment. And you can see, I think the first part is this notion of BI is moving from the classic role of analyzing historical data and typically transactional data associated with financial operations to a system that can allow us to monitor in real time the world of devices, the world of event, really allow you to run the business. But it's not the only thing that we do.
That's right. So we have doing similar presentation to some of the executives inside Microsoft, and our CFO, after she saw this the business of the connected cow, she said, can your cows fly? The question was, what do you mean? I mean, it seemed like an odd question. What she was asking us about was our ability to analyze our travel budget. Because travel for Microsoft is a huge, big deal. We spend lots of money on it. And the question was, can you give me some insights? Can you help my business analysts get some insight on where we are spending money? I said, sure, we can. And for that, we use a tool for the analysts. It's called the Power BI Desktop. I'm going to start showing that to you here, right here. And the Power BI Desktop allows you to get data from pretty much any source. I can go connect to many sources of data. You can see it goes all kinds of databases, text files, cloud sources. And the data for the travel happens to be on a Hadoop, a big data HD Insight system. So I can connect to that very easily. And this, again, already doing this is a big deal. Imagine this for a regular old analyst to connect to a big data Hadoop system. They already usually fail. They need FTP, Java, this, that. Here, we just go in, type in the name of the server. It happens to be HD Insight. And you connect to it, and it gives you the list of data on your system. Happen to have this bookings data about my travel. I connect. I can see it visually. It looks OK to me. Maybe I can edit the data before I bring it in for analysis, which means I can start to go and mash it up and slice and change things in it. So here I'm taking all my files that happen to be on this Hadoop system in one place. I'll go and get them together. You can see this little icon here. It allows me to go and get all the content in one
union
shot. Merge them together in one shot. And I can see, you can see here, this is what the data looks like. Already you can see some things such as the first row here happens to be obviously column headers. How do I change that? I can just go in, click on it, and here I have use first rows as headers, and it makes it into headers automatically. Similarly, you can see this column here you'll see this Lane slash Scott, Wasser slash Thomas, Hay slash Min. These happen to be last name slash first name, kind of obvious to us as we see it. But we can go in, and just by the act of saying, pick this column, say split the column by a delimiter, which means we can go and define how this thing is split. And here we have the choice of taking various kinds of delimiters. You can see them right here, you know, comma, tab, et cetera. I pick a custom one in this case, happens to be the forward slash, which is used by a lot of travel places. Put that in, and as easy as that, I now get two columns. I can go and rename it. This can be now, you know, last name, right? And this particular one can be first name. And I'm able to go and clean up my data just by doing these visual transformations. And every step I take, if you look out this place, is in a sequence. I can go back in time. I can literally go back in time and change back to the unnamed column headings. I can go forward in time and get my changes back. So it's non-destructive editing allows me to comfortably work with large amounts of data. I can do all kinds of transformations. You can see here, choose columns, remove columns, you know, duplicates, errors. I can do transformations of all sorts, pivot, unpivot. It's very, very interesting for an analyst to go and work with this data very easily. So I can do this. Not only that, once I'm done, the same exact tool, which I'm going to switch over to another instance I have running, we have loaded the data already. It's a few million rows of data. In the same environment, once I have the data, I can start to visualize it. So I can go in here. You can see on the right-hand side are all the columns of data that I loaded into my system. I have data on my air travels. I could go in and pick, for example, the air ticket amount. I get a chart. So I've spent $500 million at Microsoft on travel. I can add in the carrier.
This is real data. This is actually the data, travel data from the Microsoft travel department. And so we're going to discover all sorts of things about how Microsoft employees behave on the road. So
And this tool is smart. If you notice or not, as soon as I put it, I picked the measure, which happens to be the amount, and added to it the carrier, it auto-sorted it. Sorted it in descending fashion, as I expect to do, so I have nothing to do. I can go change it very easily. Again, very, very simple, smart, intuitive, works as I expect it to do. Now, I can also have other things such as cost per mile.
What's the airline that we fly?
Oh, Delta Airlines runs out. I can go and look at it. I would never have guessed Delta from Seattle would have been the most airlines we flew. Yeah.
In fact, we spend so much time so much money on Delta. Delta announced last month they're opening a hub here in Seattle, for real. That is, we generate so much business for them. So
most people think it's Alaska. It turns out actually it's Delta Airlines. Yes. There are all kinds of things going in. I can go in now and add things such as cost per mile, which is, you know, how much am I spending per mile? So showing fiscal responsibility. Here I can see roughly it's 26 cents a mile. I can get this tooltip, tells me 26 cents a mile. And I can add to it maybe the breakdown by worldwide area. So which places, is it England, is it Germany, what areas? I can just go drag and drop this in. And again, automatically sorts it. And I see something interesting. The Germans have the highest cost per mile. And if you go look at that, that's kind of something that I didn't expect to happen. 38 cents a mile for the Germans as opposed to other people, which is unexpected.
It's almost 50% more.
And that's the stereotype we have is fiscally responsible, they do the right things, which is actually quite true.
Yeah, you think Germans are kind of efficient people, and except for the Volkswagen thing, but it's generally efficient people, right? And you don't expect them to be the most, the one that paid the most per mile, but what's going on there?
And if you go and click on Germany, and you'll see that it automatically cross-filters. These two charts are linked together. I did nothing. I didn't write any kind of script. I didn't do any hookup. It just works. And we can see Germans spend a lot of money on Lufthansa. Maybe it's Lufthansa. That's very expensive. We don't know. So we can try and find out. So the way we can do this is we have this notion of something called loss savings. And loss savings tells us how much are we paying above the average price we ought to be paying. So we're losing some savings there.
Yeah. Right? So what they do is they take the least expensive ticket on the flight and then compare it to what the Microsoft employee paid. And the difference is what the savings that you have lost, okay, if you'd have taken the cheapest ticket. And so it's kind of a measure of efficiency. If you have, if you always take the cheapest tickets, your loss saving will be zero. If you go beyond that, it's more.
And so to see this, we can use color. It's a modern tool, has color in it. We actually go and drag loss savings to what you call the color saturation. And what it does is tries to highlight, pop out where we are seeing these loss savings. We can go actually and customize these colors and say, look, show me the really bad performers, people who are not being responsible in red. And there we can see our culprits. It's the headquarters. in UK, people, so people like Amir, all these executive types who run around, they are the ones actually who are causing the price to go up. And the Germans actually are very responsible. You can see much, much better off than most other people.
Yeah, the British are wasting all of our money, yes.
So it seems. We can also look at other things, such as we have cost per mile. We can break it down in this particular case by destination airport, if you want to understand which airports we are flying most irresponsibly to. I can actually go in and add in things such as the city name for the airport in here quite easily.
So what is the most expensive, what is the most expensive destination we fly to?
MCM. Any guesses on what MCM stands for? Let's go look at that. MCM, you know what's...
MCM is about $1.6 per mile compared to the 26 cents that we pay. It's about six times more for us to fly to MCM. Anybody knows what MCM is?
Come on, you guys must have gone there. All these executives.
Yeah, let's just show them.
Let's go up and see. It's exactly Monte Carlo.
Monte Carlo. So Mike, right? The most expensive destination Microsoft employees fly to is Monte Carlo. And
we can start seeing why is that so?
Why is that? Yeah, let's understand what happened.
So we can go pick the actual itineraries. And so you have the itinerary which tells us, you know, different kinds of airlines, you know, what, which destinations they're going to. We can add to it actually the cost per mile. And we can also maybe add in the average air miles that were flown. In fact, it's very easy to go in and change things like average. And if you go and filter by Monte Carlo, remember everything out here cross filters, so we can do the highlighting easily. You actually see out here that Nice to Monte Carlo, 7 average miles of distance.
So right? Nice is 7 miles from Monte Carlo, right? And that's why, and the cost per mile for flying from one to the other is $20 per mile.
And you could have taken those connected cows, sat on them, gone to Nice and Monte Carlo and back would have been cheaper. So what's going on? And to find out, we can go and add to it the carrier. We can actually go in into this chart here and add the carrier to see where who is actually trying and flying in there. And what we see is something very interesting. Nice to Monte Carlo is a helicopter service. Helicopter service, so people are flying 7 miles by helicopter from Nice to Monte Carlo and back. No wonder this is costing so much money.
Yeah. Yes. So elegant. They're actually going. So you know, how about we answer that question?
Yeah,
in the Q&A?
Let's hang on.
But we'll answer it at the Q&A. We'll try to keep some time.
So,
for Q&A.
So we can keep going. Once you're done, you can go build more nicer looking reports. I like the look of this. Amir thinks it's kind of gaudy, but anyway, you can build some nice reports like this. You can actually also go and build form factor purpose build. So this is built for a iPhone. I in fact have one running on my iPhone right here. I can have a report running very nicely on that. And then when I'm done, I can go back and publish this out via the publish button. And when I publish it, it goes back to Power BI in the service that we're working on, and we can go and take a look at that very, very easily.
So what's really cool about it is once, you know, we do, what you see here is an analyst tool. And number one, it's cool about it, it's really, really cool. The number two things that is cool about it, it's free. It's not a trial, it's not a preview, it's not a beta, it is free. Okay, and just use it. Everybody can download it. Maybe we'll show it towards the end. We'll find it. You download and use it. And when you're done, you publish. And notice that what you see here is not the same tool. It looks exactly the same as what the report Kamal showed, but it's running in the browser. Because what we have created here is fully, both on the client and on the server, based on HTML5 and D3. So it's fully compatible across devices, across browser, in the client, 100% fully interactive. I can even go and edit it here because, you know, so it's I can go and do the editing in the browser the same way that I've done it on the client, exactly the same way. But the other thing we can do here is we don't have to just bring in the content of of Power BI. We can. There's another very, very popular type of content that people would love to see inside their dashboard. So let me just find it. I know I have it here. I wanted to look at this one here. Let me switch. So let me. Maybe you can recognize what I have here. What is it?
Has what do two
you see?
Words.
I want a question. Come on. You answer. I ask you answer. What do you see here? Excel.
Very good.
That's right, Excel. So I've shown you how you can create content using using Power BI, but Excel is the first class content inside Power BI, not just the Power BI desktop I'll show you. And more than this, you can have it part of your dashboard. So I can go in and not just have the full Excel sheet. I say, I want this range. Let's pin it to my dashboard. And I'm going to pin it maybe to, let's finish to this one. I'm going to pin it. And now I'm going to find it. Let's go in here. And you see, this is a set of... This is a dashboard that has a bunch of Excel content pinned into it, including highly formatting with Sparkline, financial reports, more stuff. This is a part that I just pinned here. Mm-hmm. You can see it here. Excel plus Power BI, it's one pane of glass to see all your data. And what beautiful thing about it, that Excel sheet, if somebody updates it and saves it, immediately reflects it in the dashboard. It's not a dead copy. It's completely alive. Now, the other thing that is super cool about what you have here is that, you know, I want to show you here. Let's go back to that other report that we have. This one here, okay? Kamal said that it's great for the iPhone, and it's great for the Android phone, it's great for the Windows phone, but it's great for one more thing. Let me ask this. You heard Scott this morning, right? Travel data for Scott. For Scott. Well, hold on. Guthrie. Come on. Did I say something wrong? Okay, let's try again. Here we go. Travel. Yeah, it's just going to sleep on me. Okay. Or maybe. Come on. Here we go. Travel data for Scott Guthrie. I click on it. And what happens is you're going to see something pretty interesting. Hopefully. If the thing didn't die on me. Come on, let's try again. Yeah, three. Oh, here, it is here. Okay, so I did the typo. Sorry, go Guthrie with an E at the end. And come on, where is it? I was just showing it a second ago. Okay, let's try something else. Agent summary for Alex Barber.
You can click on it.
And I just click on it. And what you see here is a report that shows up directly inside Cortana. And it's the same kind of report. The way, if you want to have your users not know anything about BI, but you want to start furnishing them with your data, you just go and create those reports, the small ones that looks like the phone ones. You publish them to Power BI. You mark them Cortana enabled. Maybe you put a few more words to just describe so people can say, hey, agent summary or call performance summary. This is actually coming from the call center of Microsoft. And what's beautiful about it, it's just like our report were interactive, the information Cortana is interactive. So I can go in and click on one of those. And let's click on one of those. And I can see how it reacts. It is actually a BI report running fully inside Cortana. Not a single line of code is required. And the other thing that is really nice about it knows who you are. It knows what reports you have access to. You can actually filter, make sure that you can see only your data and nobody else's data. And you can keep the data even on-premise. So you have the whole thing, your whole enterprise data, available on a personalized level, on a secure level, directly within Cortana, just by merely using this tool to create the reports, publishing to the Power BI, market them, get ready for Cortana, and you're done. And you're done. It's only your organization system, only your employees, only their data. And that's it. That's a different way to deliver data. It's completely different. You don't have to say, hey, you have to know where to go to find your BI report. It will work with voice. You just say, oh, show me my next trips, and it will just work. It will know what next trip, it will show the report of the next trips. It just will work. Your data inside Cortana using Power BI. So we've seen here a bunch of things that are kind of pretty cool, right? The IoT, you've seen the new world of how to, you know, the real-time data, these dashboards with the natural language, the new way to analyze data, and the new way to deliver data directly to the user through the personal assistant. So we have a minute and a half left. We'll try to do a couple of questions. So who has something? Thank you very much. Yeah. Yes, so that's very personal up there, yes.
I'm gonna change my question, but that was a more technical question, I'll ask you later.
Okay.
But we love analysis services. I know this is Power Pivot. Earlier we
learned how Power Pivot, of course, can take many data sources, one of which could be analysis services. Makes perfect sense. So here's my question. We're an ISV, and we, of course, use analysis services, both the traditional multidimensional OLAP cube and the new tabular cube. We would love to adopt SQL Azure, but we can't because it does not support analysis services yet. So should we not worry about that? This is the question. So Power BI, where do the cubes actually live?
Great question. So where do the cubes actually live? And there are many dimensions to this question, I'll tell you. So there, first of all, one option that you have is to have the cube, you know, basically that tool capture the data, and when we upload, there's actually the analysis services running inside the Power BI service that holds your data, number one. Number two, you can have analysis services remain on-premise, and you can actually go and put this gateway, and now we connect to the gateway, and your data is on-premise, but the experience is in the cloud. It's on a mobile device. It's in Cortana, but the data actually doesn't leave the on-premise boundary. You can do that. You can also, one thing that we are, you know, right now it's working, the analysis service working with a tabular mode, but coming very soon, I think next month, the preview of our support, the same experience working against the multidimensional cubes as well. So that's also coming. Lastly, you asked me, will we have analysis services as a service in the cloud, as a platform as a service in the cloud? Yes, we're going to have it. I'm not going to commit to timelines right now, but it's certainly something that is on the roadmap. Okay? Thank you. One more question, and then we'll have to finish, and we can meet people outside. Any other question here? So I do want to thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.